And now, a Rob Brown Lowdown, only on the Fan Upstate.
27-plus years ago, the New York Liberty played in the very first WNBA game. 27 years later, they can finally refer to themselves as WNBA champions. 27 years plus after playing for the league's inaugural championship and a number of several misses in the process, they knocked off the Minnesota Lynx 67-62 in overtime last night to bring home the crown to the Big Apple. Breanna Stewart sealed the win with a pair of free throws with 10.1 seconds left in the extra period. After Leonie Fibich stole a pass, the Liberty dribbled out the clock on a victory that was as dramatic as any of the others in the WNBA Finals. A 3-2 series win for the Liberty in front of a packed house at the Barclays Center last night. Battled back from a 7-point halftime deficit to take a 47-44 lead heading into the fourth quarter. It felt like it was going to get done there. Instead, the Lynx came firing back with 6.3 seconds left in regulation. Liberty had the ball trailing 60-58. Breanna Stewart fouled by Elena Smith. A call the Lynx challenged. The officials upheld the penalty, deemed the challenge unsuccessful. Stewart would hit both free throws to tie the game at 60 apiece. Kayla McBride launched a three for Minnesota that did not fall. The game went to overtime. In her post-game press conference, Lynx head coach Cheryl Reeve said, "This was stolen from us," quote unquote. One of two coaches, high curbs, that said that they had a big problem with officiating in the extra period. Naira Sabali and Breanna Stewart had their biggest moments so far. Sabali had 13 points and 7 boards last night. Here's the weird thing. The Liberty shot just 30.6% from the field. Sabrina Ionescu made 1 of 19 shots from the field, finished with 5 points, and despite those struggles, she did have 8 assists and 7 rebounds, but it was Jonquel Jones who was named the finals MVP, led New York with 17 points, started this series +1,100 to 1 to win finals MVP, ties Diana Taurasi for the third most career points in the finals. She had 320 when the game was over last night, playing in her fourth career finals after previously losing with the Sun in 2019 and 2022, and with the Liberty last year. She gets her ring, and it comes along with an MVP title. The Liberty gave the Big Apple their first major professional basketball championship since the Knicks last did it in 1973. That was 16 years before the oldest player on the Liberty's roster, 35-year-old Courtney Vandersloot, was even born at that point. After 5 previous tries to win the title, the Liberty now have a crown to place atop the head of the Statue of Liberty on their logo. Let's go now to item number 2. Your World Series will begin on Friday, and it is now set. The Los Angeles Dodgers and the New York Yankees will match up for baseball's highest honor. The Dodgers last night absolutely blasting the New York Mets, a 10-5 pennant clinching victory over the Mets in game 6 of the NLCS last night. Dave Roberts on the microphone said, quote, "I've never believed in a group of guys more than I believe in this guys, but more importantly, they believe in each other." It was all Dodgers from the get-go last night. A whole bunch of dingas early in the game, and then they just stayed on top of the Mets for the rest of the ride. On the flip side, the Yankees able to get it done against the Guardians on Saturday night to clinch the AL pennant. So the two big dogs, the two most expensive teams in Major League Baseball, will now compete for a World Series title that begins on Friday night. And finally, let's get to item number 3. Palmetto State football wrap-up from the weekend. We start with yesterday when the Carolina Panthers got demolished by the Washington Commanders. And here's the worst part. It was largely without rookie phenom Jaden Daniels. He played one drive, was 2 of 2 for 6 yards, did have 50 rushing yards on 3 carries before he had to exit the game with a rib injury, and he was replaced with former Atlanta Falcons starter turned Commanders backup backup, Marcus Mariota. Mariota went 18 of 23 for 205 yards and a pair of tutties. He also ran 11 times for 34 yards as the Commanders throttled the Cats yesterday. Andy Dalton, 11 of 16 for 93 yards, no touchdowns, and a pair of interceptions, was also sacked twice. Bryce Young checked in for the final drive, went 2 of 2 for minus 4 yards. 2 of 2 for minus 4 yards? Not great. Chuba Hubbard had the lone score for the Cats. 17 carries, 52 yards, and a touchdown. It was the only touchdown of the game, obviously, and it came late in the game against a handful of Commander backups. The Cats ran for 95 yards on the day. Things are not good, and I know that because of what we're going to talk about coming up here in a minute. Deontay Johnson's over it. He's over it. They asked him in the locker room, what went wrong? And he said, I don't know what to tell you. I'm frustrated. I can't play every position. Deontay had one catch for 17 yards yesterday, so exactly going great for him either. We'll break this game down at length a little bit later in the show, but things did not go well for the Cats. Down to college football we go, where the Clemson Tigers did exactly what they were supposed to do, despite the fact that they were missing a trio of their best wide receivers. Clemson gets it done 48-31 over Virginia. Cade Klubnik would finish the day 22 of 35, 308 yards, 3 tutties, and a pick in this one. Phil Maffa, 78 yards on 18 carries. He put it into the end zone twice. Antonio Williams stuck it in once on the ground. One carry, 36 yards, and it hit pay dirt through the air. TJ Moore, your leading wide receiver, with 78 yards on 4 grabs. Troy Stiletto, 74 yards on 7 grabs, 345 total yards for the Clemson Tigers through the air, as Antonio Williams did have a 34-yard pass, and Chris Vezina checked in, went 1 for 1, and added 3 yards as well. Also held the Virginia Cavaliers to just 68 rushing yards on the day. Did that defense, listen, this team was banged up. This team had some injuries at the wide receiver spot, and yet they still made it work. I will say defensively, there were some spots that I think Clemson's got some stuff to clean up, but considering the run that they are on to 6-1 now, it's exactly what you were expected to do. 48-31, your final there. And finally, South Carolina, 35-9 winners over the Oklahoma Boomer Sooners. Lenora Sellers, 16 of 24, 175 and a touch on the ground. Just 74 rushing yards for South Carolina last night, Saturday afternoon. 33 of them coming off the legs of Raheem Sanders on 15 carries. He did have a touchdown in that game. You're going, wait a minute, Rob, that's only 2 offensive touchdowns, one on the ground, one in the air, and you would be correct. So how did they score 35 points? The answer is because the defense was not playing last night. Nick Imanwori had a pair of picks. He stuck one into the back of the end zone. You also had a couple of field goals from Alex Herrera, 2 of 2, including a 39-yarder on the day. Listen, I have only one complaint, and that only complaint is the fact that South Carolina, it felt to me, though maybe I'm wrong, it felt to me like South Carolina let off the gas a little bit in the second half, right? Like, you had these dudes down. You put up 21 in the first quarter. You stacked up 11 more in the second. It was 32-3 at the half, and it just felt like you let off the gas offensively. Like, this felt to me like a game, and I know Oklahoma made some adjustments at the half, but turns out you're allowed to do that as well. This felt to me like a game where the Gamecocks needed to get into the 40s. It's very interesting because I can already hear the tap, 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 tap of a bunch of Gamecock fans going, hey, Rob, we won 35-9. Maybe chill out a little bit. It's a good win. In fact, I spent the first hour saying, you are going to hear hosts today across America that are going to try to denigrate the win of the Gamecocks over the Sooners by telling you how crappy the Sooners are, how bad they are at football. And they are. I'm not arguing that they aren't. What I am saying is, you did everything you needed to do. You dictated this game to them. You take advantage of their offensive mistakes when the game was in question early in it. You just kept attacking, and that's exactly what I wanted to see. I also said, I don't think it's that particular, particularly much of a hot take. I think the progression of this team from Ole Miss week through Bama week to Oklahoma week is maybe the most improvement I have seen out of the Gamecocks in any 3-week span since Shane Beamer took over as the head coach of the program. It's a very impressive win. It's exactly what I wanted. It's actually more that I wanted to see. What did I say? I said, this actually feels more like a you should win this game than the Bama game did. It felt more like a you should be in charge of this game than the Bama game did. But you went out there, you took advantage of the mistakes early, you busted up their rotating quarterbacks of Arnold and Hawkins Jr., you put a couple into the back of the end zone, and you did what you're supposed to do. I would have liked to see a little bit of bloodthirst in the second half, a little bit of let's go run this thing up, let's go get 50 while we're here on the road and we've got the opportunity. I felt like you got uber conservative in the second half, and I don't particularly love that, but I also understand it. Getting this dub was massively important, especially understanding what the narrative would have been this morning if you would have been up 32-3 at the half and allowed Oklahoma, forget win, even to come back in this game. The narrative would have been nasty around it. So you do what you got to do to protect the lead and protect the football, and you did exactly that. Need the run game to get better. There is no arguing that. Need to see a little bit more bloodthirst, I think, in the second half. The old step on them while they're down mentality, but it's a good win. It's a very good win against the team in Oklahoma that had every reason to come out and try to be juggernauts this weekend, and they didn't because they couldn't. Good win for the Gamecocks.
So expectations now, a good bowl game?
I think that's more than fair, honestly. I mean, I still, here's what I don't want to do. What I don't want to do is allow this win and the Bama game to suddenly skew the expectations way forward. Let's not point out, or let's not forget to point out, you got Texas A&M coming to the house this weekend. Excuse me. You got Texas A&M coming to the house next weekend.
Number one in the SEC, Texas A&M.
And number, 14 coming in nationally and now rising through the ranks as they get another good win. You still got A&M. Then you're on the road at Vanderbilt. Years gone by, this was a win we considered a lock, right? Oh, here's a green dub for Shane. You can go ahead and circle that one on the calendar as one of his wins. Maybe not. Then again, the team that beat Bama, the team that who'd they beat this past weekend? Last weekend. I forgot already. Who did Vanderbilt beat? It wasn't Arkansas. Who the hell did Vanderbilt beat after Alabama? I'm
Kentucky?
Blanking.
Was it Kentucky?
Yes, Kentucky. The team that beat Bama, the team that beat Kentucky, had a dogfight with Ball State this weekend, right? So, like, again, top 25 team, not a great one, but a good one.
Sometimes you remember who you are.
So you got Vandy, and it is on the road. Then you got Missouri, as I told you coming in. I actually think, though, that's a win for South Carolina. Missouri is a very mediocre team. Then you got Wofford and Clemson. You got to get two out of A&M, Vandy, Mizzou, Wofford, and Clemson. If that team that played Oklahoma's there, if that team that played Alabama's there, Lonzo, there's two more wins coming. Remember the beginning of the year. I said the roof's 8-4. Realistic is 6-6. Underperforming is 5-7 or worse. I think 6 is in the table. I'm going to keep it a buck with you. Lonzo, I think there's at 4-3, I think there's 7 wins out there. I'm going to say right now, A&M's a loss. I'm going to say at Clemson is a loss. I think Vandy, Mizzou, and Wofford are all beatable football teams. But what did I say last week?
I think Clemson needs to be afraid of this defense. I know you just made a face, but Clemson needs to be afraid of South Carolina's defense.
I want to see if
it continues to improve and play the way they're playing. Look out.
If they play that way against A&M, because again, not trying to denigrate. I already said, don't let them denigrate this. Oklahoma's offense sucks. They fired their offensive coordinator like an hour after this game was over. Oklahoma's offense is garbage. It's bad. It's not good. It's outright bad. Do that against A&M at home. Do that on the second against A&M. Then I'll see your face and I'm a believer. Yeah. Do it against A&M, and then I'll believe. Then I'll say, okay, now Clemson's got to be looking ahead a little bit. Don't get diced by A&M. That's it. Because what did I say last week? What was the word of the day about South Carolina? That's a Pee Wee Herman's Playhouse reference.
I absolutely got it.
No, it's for the Royal U.
Okay, I was shocked that you pulled that out of the bag.
The word of the day, the word of the week last week for South Carolina was what? The C word. Consistency. Show me consistency. Well, now you've done it. You were consistent from Alabama to Oklahoma. Oklahoma. Now you've got to step up in talent from Oklahoma and A&M and still do it. If you go right back to inconsistent, then we got a problem. But Vandy, Mizzou, and Wofford are all beatable. That's a 7-5 season. That's expectation.
The Rob Brown Show. Get robbed at thefanupstate.com.